One day I'll see the honored saints, hearing the stories of amazing grace. One day my tears will be wiped away. I will find comfort in His embrace.
We will see Him, Lamb of glory, holy, holy, angels sing. We will bow down, give Him honor. One day we shall see the King. One day we'll wake up to no more night. One day the Lamb will be the light. All of creation will finally see Jesus our Savior, the King of Kings. We will see Him, Lamb of glory, holy, holy, angels sing. We will bow down, give Him honor. One day we shall see, one day we shall see, one day we shall see the King, the King.
That will work. Wonderful. First Chronicles 29. So if you're getting used to your Bible, that's Old Testament. Go to the book of Psalms and go to your left. The Old Testament book of Psalms to your left, okay? Psalms is the biggest, longest book in the Bible. So it's pretty easy to find. And then back to your left a ways to 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In just a moment, we're going to stand, if you're able to, not right now, but in a moment, in the honor of God's Word. And we're going to read a few verses from this chapter, not many, but just enough to kind of get the sense of it. And then we'll preach a message from using other verses here. So if you're able to stand, let's do that in honor of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10, where the scripture says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." One day you and I are going to sing that song. It came out of Revelation 4 and 5. Amen. And, I lost my place. "And the victory and the majesty," verse 11, "for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Now, I want to speak this morning on the product of giving. The product of giving. You say you shouldn't preach on giving on Sunday morning. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't see in the Bible anywhere where this was marked Sunday a.m. only passage of Scripture. Hannah's the only one visiting with us. People say, "Oh, you guys ever talk about his money?" That's not true, number one. But a preacher should never apologize for preaching on the subject of giving. It's in the Word of God. And we're having a special offering today for our bus ministry. I want to speak on the product of giving. Let's pray. Father, we appreciate so much the opportunity to have a book that is your Word. It doesn't just contain your Word. It is your Word. And so, Father, we're glad for it. And now I pray that you'll bless the message. Fill us with your power, both speaker and listener. May you help us, O God, to receive from this text what you intend for us to get. Help me as I preach. Thank you for the subject matter of the message today for a church that has enjoyed the product of giving all these years. Help us today in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. This is an encouraging story in the life of David. He wanted to build a permanent temple for the worship of his God, but David's God had other plans. Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, would be the one chosen by God to build the temple. And David's task was to help prepare for the building. And so he's leading the nation of Israel to prepare for the building of this temple. And by the way, it was a magnificent, magnificent building. Now, in this chapter, there is blessing, there is joy, there is rejoicing, there's praise, there's thanksgiving, and there's even excitement. My question, who wouldn't want to be a part of an event where there is blessing and joy and rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving and excitement? If that kind of event is available for me to be a part of, to attend, I want to be there and be a part of it. Now, we might expect those emotions and attributes at a well-attended Holy Ghost anointed revival meeting where there's joy and excitement and rejoicing and praise and thanks. You might expect that from a camp meeting, you know, where there's a lot of singing and preaching under a tent. If there are many saved and baptized in a service or people getting right with God, then all of those emotions would be found for sure. And all of those type events are wonderful. Revivals and camp meetings and tent meetings and special Sundays with an emphasis on the gospel being preached. All those events are wonderful. What is amazing about this event is what was going on was not the result of revival with people getting saved and baptized. It wasn't the result of people getting right with God after being away from Him for an extended period of time. It was not a singing with a lot of moving music. You know what's going on here? Giving. Giving. That's what's going on in this chapter. With all this joy and rejoicing and excitement and praise and thanksgiving and all of this going on, it is the result of giving. David and the people had a special event that centered around giving, and the product of their giving was blessing and joy and rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving and excitement over the business of giving. You start talking about giving to the average person, they get sour. But not here. And this was not a tipping, okay? This was a giving. They were not being given to. They were giving to. This was not giving their time or their talent. This was not giving items laying around the house that they had no need of anymore. Yard mart. This was a treasure offering of gold and silver and brass and iron and precious stones. This was a special offering. And the atmosphere was absolutely electric. This was for a building that would be used for the worship of God. And the temple would be built in time. But the immediate results were absolutely incredible. And this still can happen in a church when we give in like manner to how David and the children of Israel gave to this building. So how did they give? Well, if I told you there's one word used six different times in this chapter to describe their giving, you think that would be pretty close to the manner in which they gave? Well, it's the word willingly. Look at verse number 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Look at verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly. Verse 14, in about middle of the verse, that we should be able to offer so willingly. Verse number 17, twice as for me in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all those things. Now I have seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Hey, folks, there was no coercion on David's part. There's no twisting of the arm. People crying, uncle, uncle, okay. This is not a levy. This is not a tax. Nobody got a statement in the mail saying this is how much you're expected to bring. No. It was a free will, voluntary offering that David and the people gave for the building of the temple. And the immediate result of that offering was joy and rejoicing and blessing and praise and thanksgiving and excitement, because this offering came from people who were willing to give. There was excitement there. It reminds me of those churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea who were pleading with the Apostle Paul to take their offering to help those poor saints in Jerusalem. Paul said they entreated him. Hey, they entreated him. They were like, look, we are excited to give this offering, and we look forward to sending this with you for those people. Don't you dare rob us of this blessing. That's what they said. This is a bounty to us. It's a blessing to us. Don't rob us of this joy. Don't rob us of these immediate results of willing giving. The Bible says in verse number 3 of that chapter, they were willing of themselves. That's why they were so excited about it. They didn't have to. They chose to participate. And you get to verse number 5 in this chapter. Look at the end of verse number 5. And who then is willing? There's the word again. Not willingly, but willing. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You'll see those words there, consecrate his service. You know what they mean? They mean to fill his hand. Who is willing to fill your hand with gold, silver, brass, iron, precious stones for the Lord? The people were willing to have their hands full in this service to the Lord. Now, folks, wait. It's almost certain that not every person gave the same amount of offering for the temple. Look at this. Having their hands full does not mean they came in with heaping amounts of money. You know what it means? They participated. They participated in the offering. That's what having that is consecrate their service. Look at verse number 6. Look at what it says. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands of hundreds and of hundreds with the rulers of the king. You know what that's telling me? The leadership of the nation participated. All those in some kind of leadership position participated. Look at verse number 7. And gave for the service of that. Verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. So the congregation of the nation participated. The leadership participated and the congregation participated. And today, November 20th, 2022, we receive a free will, voluntary offering to help upgrade our bus fleet. And we make no apology for doing that. I make no apology for even preaching about it, folks. All that we're sitting in, all these buildings, this project, the one across the way, is the result of about 30 years of people who've been willing to give. And you look, for those, like I mentioned, we got folks here who have just been saved 14 days or less. Okay, I'm not trying to pick your pocket or anybody else's. I'm just preaching to you some truth from God's Word. Listen to me. Giving is as much a part of worship as singing, witnessing, hearing the Word of God preached, reading the Bible, praying. It's a part of worshiping God. Worshiping God. It's not been hard to ask for this special offering. Not been hard at all. It's most definitely a worthy cause. It's as much a service to the Lord as when these people gave for their temple building. And when they gave, they were blessed beyond measure because they gave willingly with a good attitude, a good spirit. And that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. I see four characteristics of a good spirit in this willing offering. Okay? First of all, they had the spirit of wholeheartedness. The spirit of wholeheartedness. Look at verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly. Do you see that? The word perfect does not mean what? You can say it. Does not mean sinless. Doesn't mean when they were without sin. What the word perfect means is complete. It means fully, completely. There was no giving with the attitude of, you know, I hope this makes King David happy. I hope this amounts to some good. There wasn't that kind of attitude. There was a wholehearted, fully, completely in it attitude. Hey, count me in. I believe in this. I am giving on purpose. I am giving with a full heart. That's the attitude here. That's the wholehearted attitude. And from what I have noticed about you, this has not been a heavy, burdened cross to bear. Maybe there's been griping. I haven't heard it. Maybe there's been complaining. I haven't heard it. Maybe there's been snipping about, oh, brother, another special offering. First of all, folks, we used to give weekly for years beyond our giving to missions in the church for the building program. We haven't really taken a special offering in a long, long time. Long, long time. And I haven't heard, in fact, what I have seen, you know, I had a man come right down here a few weeks ago and ask a question about the special offering. He said, you know, my wife and I went home when you first announced it. We decided this is something we want to be a part of. That's the kind of spirit I'm talking about, the spirit of wholeheartedness. And by the way, one of the ways I know that a spirit of wholeheartedness, for the most part, is because kids don't make things to sell so they can give in the bus offering if their parents are criticizing it at home. Does that make sense to y'all? I mean, if somebody's talking it down around the table, you think the kid's going to make something? No. No, when young kids want to take part and be involved, it is because at home, parents are talking in a positive way about participating. And a wholehearted, fully involved, count me in attitude is a characteristic of someone who can receive a blessing from giving. It's a willing thing. It's a count me in. I want to participate. I'm in. Okay, so the giving was with the spirit of wholeheartedness. Then number two, I love this. There was a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility. Look at verse number 10 here, okay? So David begins to pray in verse 10. Do you see that? Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God. So who's he talking to? He's talking to God. When you talk to God, what's that called? Praying. Okay, so David begins his prayer. Now look with me in verse number 11. See the words. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Who does it belong to? Belongs to him. Look at verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. Look at verse 14, about halfway through. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Well, I'm giving my money. They gave gold, they gave silver. David prayed, Lord, of thine own. Look at verse 14. Now we just did that one. Okay, verse 16. O Lord our God, all the store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. It is all thine own. You know what David realized? Something that you and I have a hard time getting. It all belongs to him, folks. Every bit of it. Every bit of it belongs to him. Now, that doesn't mean we're supposed to give it all away. We're told to be good stewards of it. That's what stewardship is. Stewardship is the proper management of that which belongs to another. The very fact, there is no pride in this, that he expressed in his prayer. There is the spirit of humility about giving, because he specifically notes the only reason we are able to fill our hand and participate in this offering is because, God, you have first given to us. The pool of money that they gave from first came from God. And that's, brother, I'm telling you, that's Bible. That's as Bible as Bible can be. That's not just true about money. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Any capacity that we have for loving God only comes from the fact that He's loved us first. And when we give, folks, look, this wasn't, this in this offering, this isn't a look what I am able to do because of my great wisdom and intuition and strength and ability. No, no, no. This was a simple attitude of, God, I can give because I am only returning to You what You first have given to me. I'll tell you, when you get that down, it'll change how you look at things. It all belongs to Him. When we realize, you know, we talk about, well, the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's true. But the truth is, it all belongs to Him. Every bit of it, okay? And we get that down. It's everything we have belongs to God. When we get that, we've grasped the first principle of stewardship. I give this morning in this special offering because God has first given to me. And especially men and young men, be careful of the spirit of, well, I work for my money. I earn what I get. And that's good, right? The laborer is worthy of his hire. Who gave you the health to go to work? Who gave you the brain to work with? Who gave you the mental and the physical abilities and dexterity and all of that? Who provided you? What catalog did you order that out of? Did you get that from Amazon? Bezos, he couldn't provide that. He could provide you something in less than 24 hours that you need for around the house. But Bezos can't provide you the health and the ability and the mental capacity to learn and work and earn, folks. That all comes from Him. And we're supposed to work. And we're supposed to earn what we receive. But it goes beyond the name on that paycheck. Whoever signed that thing for you, it goes beyond that. You know where all that came from? From His good hand. There was a spirit of humility in this offering, a spirit of wholeheartedness, a spirit of humility. Number three, I want you to notice this, a spirit of right. There was just a spirit of right in this offering. Look at verse number 17. David said, now he's still praying, I know also my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in, look at that next word, uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I willingly offered all these things. David's testimony was, God, as best as I know, my heart is right with You. His heart was right with God when he gave the offering. I want to say something this morning very, 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 very carefully and plainly. The size of our gift is not the most important matter. What matters is the condition of our heart. Are we right with God? Are we being obedient to God? Look, folks, if the amount is small in your eyes, but you give with a right heart, then you know what? All is well, because God judges the heart. God sees the heart. This is illustrated for us. Let me finish this and I'll get the illustration. If the amount is large, it's not the largeness that counts with God as much as if the heart is right with God. That's what matters. Is your heart right? Look, you don't have to feel bad or bloated about how small or how big the offering that you give, the number that, just is your heart right? Is your heart right? That's all that really matters, because that's how God sees. God sees the heart, okay? You know, Jesus illustrated this over there in Mark chapter 12. When the Bible says that He sat against the treasury to behold how they gave. Now, I've said before, if I had followed the offering, if I had followed the men back today and looked down every aisle to see how people gave, that would frost a lot of people, wouldn't it? But that's what Jesus did. He just sat over there in the corner of the Treasury building, you know, and just kind of observed. And that guy came in with a big wad and threw it in and made an, you know, impressive show of it. And then the little lady came with her napkin and two little coins and clink, clink. And Jesus called him over and, did y'all see that? What a wad. Where did he get that? No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that lady who clinked. I know her heart. That's what matters, folks. The spirit of right. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira came with their offering? Now, I'm sure, I don't know this is speculation. I'm sure it was a substantial offering. Because they sold what? Land. But the amount mattered nothing to God because why? Their hearts were not right. And so God's, nah. Listen very carefully. We cannot buy our way into blessing by giving a large offering. Blessing always comes from obedience. Whether it's $10 or $10,000. Somebody gave a $20,000 gift for upgrading our bus fleet. Somebody gave that here in the church. It didn't come from outside. It came from inside the church membership. And somebody said, well, we're trying to match that. I can't. It's not the size. It's here. Are you right? Just right with God. David said, Lord, I know you're concerned with uprightness. And as far as I know, from the uprightness of my heart, I have given in this offering. There was a spirit of wholeheartedness. There was a spirit of humility. There was a spirit of being right. And then I want to show you number four. There was a spirit of love. Look back at verse number three. Here's what David said. Okay. Moreover, because I have set, now he's talking to the congregation, okay? Because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David said, you know, my affection is set on this house for God. He loved it. He loved the idea, the concept. He loved that there was going to be a building built for God. And folks, how many times have we said it over the years? You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. That's the bottom line. For God so loved the world that He gave. David said, I have set my affection, I've set my love on this building, and because I love it, I have given of my own proper good. That means of his own personal income. I've given. And I can tell you, you know what? I'm not a very good Christian in a lot of ways, but I can tell you this much. I love the church. I love this church. I love the bus ministry. I have looked forward to giving this morning. I wanted to give from the very... You say, what was your idea? I guess you're going to... I know, but beyond my idea. I'm just excited about it. Because I love this place. And I love the bus ministry. And I preached on that, what? A couple Sundays ago? When we had Bus Kid Day, the choir over here. The blessing of the bus ministry. I love it. I've seen God use it, and you can give without loving. You can give that kid at Kroger who's selling that candy bar for his football team $2 for a box of whatever. But you don't even know his name. Don't tell me you love him. You don't even know his name. You just are on a guilt trip. Amen. Like I am when I see those little kids. And I remember our kids out there trying to sell candy. I said, here you go, kid, okay? But you can't love without giving. Giving. Love makes us give. This offering was given willingly with a spirit of wholeheartedness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of right, and a spirit of love. And the product of that type of willing giving was blessing and joy and rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving and excitement. Giving in the right manner produces the atmosphere of revival. Giving in the right manner produces the atmosphere of people being saved, people getting right with God. Giving in the right manner produces the same atmosphere of a God-anointed singing service where God uses music to just make people rejoice. Giving has the same result when it's done right. And by the way, one more thing. At the conclusion, we're not going to turn there for sake of time. But at the conclusion of Paul's teaching on grace giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, two chapters worth, right? He writes to that church, talks about all those principles of grace giving there over and over and over again. Principle after principle after principle. Do you know how he concludes it? In verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. No matter what happens in the offering today, there is still no giving that even comes close to equaling the unspeakable gift of God. The unspeakable gift of God is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We just sang that great song about the tomb being empty. Thank God for the cross, but thank God for that empty tomb, folks. It's just as much a part of our salvation as the blood that was shed on Calvary. There never will be a gift that measures up to the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No. We could give millions. Millions. We could give millions. And it would not touch the hem of the garment of God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, if you're offended by a message about, you know, the subject of giving at a Sunday morning service, you know, I don't know what to say to you. I believe you need to stop and consider the fact that you're sitting in this room today on your way to heaven, and you're not going to hell forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be separated from God, falling, twisting, and crying out for a drop of water for all eternity. That's the result of His unspeakable gift. So giving ought not offend you. Because your eternal destiny is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And God's not going to give that gift out because you got baptized. And God's not going to give that gift out because you pray over a string of beads or because you take communion. God gives His gift of eternal life to people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died, was buried, and rose again for their sin. And they turn completely to Him for their salvation. And God gives them the gift of heaven. And there will never be a gift equal to that gift. Ever. Ever. Anywhere, anytime, any place. The product of giving in the right way, willingly, with the spirit of wholeheartedness and humility and love and the right spirit, being right with God. It's like a revival meeting. It's like a revival meeting like they had here. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for your book. I thank you for all that it teaches us about how we live as your people. I thank you for the illustration of the children of Israel and the offering that they gave for the temple. And Lord, we get to give an offering for our bus fleet. And it is a blessed privilege. And Lord, if we do it in the right way, willingly, with the spirit of wholeheartedness and humility and right and love, it can be an atmosphere of revival in our hearts. And so we're so grateful for this privilege today, and especially in the light of the fact that our eternal destiny is your free gift, eternal life. Thank you for all you've done for us, for all you've given us, and we give a little bit back to you today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonder who's here, because they passed their angel. I know I'm saved. I've received the free gift of eternal life by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only for my salvation. I know that for a fact. I'm assured of it, and I'm not ashamed of it. Could I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? Amen. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now, if you could not raise your hand about your eternal destiny, I'm talking about going somewhere for eternity, heaven or hell, and the free gift of God is eternal life in heaven. And if you don't know whether you have received that gift or not, it didn't come by way of being born an American. It doesn't come by way of church membership. No, it doesn't even come by way of believing in God. No, if you don't know that, that's the greatest thing you could ever know in your life, is that you have received God's free gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus. I'm wondering if there's anybody here today, and you say, you know, I couldn't raise my hand just a moment ago when you asked that first question, Pastor, but I will raise it now, because here's my question. If you're not sure that you're saved, I want to just have a closing prayer for anybody, not by name, just a generic prayer, asking God to help you and speak to your heart. If you're not sure that you're saved, you couldn't raise your hand a moment ago, just slip it up where I can see it. Nobody else is looking. Just raise it up, Pastor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven when I die. If you've been saved and never baptized, and you came this morning to be obedient to the Lord in that way, that's wonderful. Or you want to talk to one of these fellows up front about it, that would be wonderful. Your first step of obedience after being saved is to follow Christ in baptism. That would be a wonderful thing to do. And how about this matter of giving? How about this matter of giving? Even if you choose not to participate in this particular offering, are you right about the spirit of giving? That willing spirit with an attitude of wholeheartedness and humility and right and love. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, God spoke to my heart, not about being saved, but about this matter of the product of giving, Bible giving. Pray for me. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? I see several hands in the air. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we bow before you with a very grateful heart. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for your unspeakable gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, please, to be magnified and glorified in this service today. Lord, if there's somebody here not sure of their way to heaven, they're on their way to heaven, I pray that you'll speak to that heart and draw that person to Christ today. I pray, God, for those that lifted a hand, maybe for somebody that needs to be baptized. May good decisions be made for you, for your honor, for your glory. I pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a minute, we're going to stand. The piano will begin to play, and it's your opportunity. If you don't know for sure you're saved, come right down here and tell one of these men, I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. If you need to be baptized, tell one of them. If you need to use the altar, it'll be open. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the Lord is speaking to hearts. Would you obey Him today? The result of Bible giving. Blessing. Joy, rejoicing, thanksgiving, praise, excitement, because it was a willing offering. Willing. Nobody squeezed them. They gave because they chose to. With a spirit of wholeheartedness, humility, right, and love. We give today with the same kind of spirit, hopefully, in light of the fact that God has given to us His unspeakable gift. Too big to even talk about it. Too wonderful to even talk about how great it is.